take our Bibles now and turn to Matthew 18, if you will. Matthew 18. Today we want to talk about striving for forgiveness or striving in forgiveness. Our theme for these Sunday school lessons would be striving together. And so we've discussed a number of things that we can, we're not striving apart, but working together, laboring together, striving together to get the job done and to please God. And today we want to talk about that, striving in forgiveness. Matthew 18, and we'll be going to these verses as we go along in the lesson. And, well, let's just read them. Let me read them as we look through them, then we'll come back and give you our comments on these verses. He said in verse 23, Matthew 18:23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents." That's a lot of money, 750 ounces or so of silver. "But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, just nothing compared to what he owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Now the parable is really here in response to a question that Peter had asked the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question in verse 21 of this chapter, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, offend me, or do something wrong against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times and quit?" Now, he's saying, how am I supposed to treat somebody who hurts me and maybe does it more than one time? How many times am I supposed to forgive them if I've been wrong repeatedly? And I think Peter had the same kind of question that you and I have because of our human nature. That's not a natural thing we want to do, is to forgive people. The supernatural thing is to forgive, but the natural thing is not to forgive. And so last week we were talking about unity. We'll never have unity in our church and never progress in unity unless we forgive. And unity requires forgiveness. There will not be unity in the body of Christ, in the local church and all, without forgiveness. And that really isn't easy, but we have to learn how to handle it, and we learn how to handle it from Jesus, from the Lord, and what he says about it. So we want to talk about three parts today in this. First one, the participants in forgiveness. And that's found in verses 23 through 30, the participants in forgiveness. And so, A, under that, those of you who have your outlines, there is an offended party. There is an offended party. Verse 24 and verse 28. Let's look at those again. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So you had the offended party. Verse 28, the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. So you had two people in positions who had been offended, and they had owed something that they were not paying, a debt that somebody owed, and a debt that someone owes us sometimes, or a debt or something that cost us something or that hurts us or affects us, we don't want to forgive them, and we have to really deal with that. Now, Jesus told us in the Bible, expect to be offended. It's expect to be done wrong, because that's human nature that it's going to happen. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So he said, get ready, because you're going to have some problems, and you're not always going to be agreed with, and some people are going to hurt you. But Jesus also told us how to respond to that. How do we respond to it when we're mistreated, when people don't do what they're supposed to do in relationship to us? The first thing I think he tells us, one of the things, is don't ignore the situation and let it fester and become bitter in your heart. Don't ignore it and just let it percolate in your soul, in your heart, and fester there, because that will not work it out. And the second thing is to seek restoration. Restoration is not gossip. That's not going to help restoration. Vengeance, trying to get even with them, that's not going to help bring restoration, and that isn't the will of God in this. That may be man's method, but that's not God's method. And again, he said in Matthew 18:15-16, listen to Jesus, where he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't tell it in front of everybody else or chew him out in front of somebody else. Get alone with that person. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If they offend you, you go talk to them, you tell them, and he listens and corrects it, then you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear thee, just ignores it, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three every word may be established, so that there is at least one other witness in that triad, so that it can be established what was said. So you have the offended party. And then, B in your outline, there is the one who sinned. The one who sinned. Verses 26 and 29. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I'll pay you. He had sinned and he knew it. He was wrong. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The same verbiage was used in both instances. And so there's the one who sinned. And sometimes that's the hard part for us, to admit, I have offended you. I haven't done what is right in my relationship with you. I owe you money and I hadn't paid you, or I've hurt you, or I've lied about you, or I've gossiped on you, or I didn't treat you right, whatever the case may be. It's sort of hard to admit that we have offended, but these two did that. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her lesson, and she wanted to summarize and find out if the lesson had gotten across. And she said, can anyone tell me what you must do before you obtain forgiveness of sin? What do you have to do before you obtain forgiveness of sin? And a little boy raised his hand, and she acknowledged him, and he said, you have to sin. Well, that's true. You have to sin before you... But that's no problem for most of us, is it? In fact, we're all sinners, so that takes care of that. But what Jesus said, and that's human nature for us to respond that way, because we are sinners. But Jesus said in 5:23 and 24, Matthew 5, therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Just walk away from it. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In other words, God doesn't want your gift till you get your heart right. So your heart needs to be right, and then God will accept the gift. And he uses the word reconcile, or reconciled. And that word literally means to restore, be restored in that relationship. Or reconcile means to bring back together, bring back together. And so that's what God says we need to do in that relationship. That's God's plan. And so what happens is it takes humble repentance on the part of the one who's done wrong. And that's what they did. They bowed down and asked for mercy. And they were doing that. Now, you had the forgiveness that was given in the first situation, because that was what we would call grace-driven. Not naturally driven, but grace-driven forgiveness from the offended. And so that's what God expects us to do in our relationship. Now, there is also an omniscient Lord that we see in this equation. An omniscient Lord. Verse 23, notice that. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account. He takes account of his servants. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But he was aware of the debt that was there. Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. The king found out about it. And so we have the omniscient Lord. Two servants and a certain king, as he mentions there in verse 23. A certain king and these other two that both were really servants under that king. And the servants were accountable to that king. Now, when the one was forgiven and went out, and he wouldn't forgive the other one, the king wasn't present. The king wasn't present. So it was pretty hard for him, or pretty easy rather, for him to be hard on the one that had offended him. But he had a different story and a different attitude, I think, after the king found out. And by the way, the king always knows. The king always, always knows. We're not dealing with an earthly king. We're dealing with God. And so God always knows. He knows everything. He is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He is omnipotent. He has all power, and he's omnipresent. He is everywhere present. So we don't hide our anger and bitterness from God. And we don't hide our unforgiving spirit from God. There's no way that we can do that. God sees all of our actions. And so the game changer is the thought, when we think about it, God's watching. God knows, and God sees it, and God is the one that we answer to. Now, he forgave us, did he not? And if he forgave us, we should be willing to forgive others. And he's very strong about that. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, listen to the language here, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave you, and you ought to forgive others. God forgave me, I ought to be able to forgive others and do it as God says to do it. And so the verbiage that he has in verses 26 and verse 29, both of these people said the same thing. Have patience with me and I will pay thee. Have patience with me and I will pay thee. And so this reminds us that there's really no difference in essence between God's forgiveness and our forgiving others. Same question was asked to the king. The same question was asked to the servant. So you have the king, you ask him to forgive you, and then you have the other one, two servants, and he's asking the servant, he's demanding of the servant that he pay him. But the forgiveness of others should be between us and them, just like God's forgiveness to us. God forgave me, I should forgive others. just as he forgave me. And so that's a very strong principle of the Word of God. Now, if we'll remember all of our sins, what we've done, since we go back to our memory when we started remembering things, I don't know how old you were when you started remembering things. I can't remember how old I was when I started remembering things. But I know around 4 years of age, I had my tonsils removed, and I remembered that because I remember I couldn't swallow, you know, and then I got a little ice cream or Jell-O or something later. And then I remember my grandma dying, and that was sudden, and my mother cried, and I hadn't seen her cry, and I was about 4 or 5 years of age. But from the time you can remember all the way to this very present moment, think of all the sins you have committed, and has God forgiven you of them? Certainly has, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can forgive us of all of our sins, then certainly we ought to be able to forgive others of their sins. So the participants in forgiveness. And then the principles of forgiveness. Verses 31 through 33, he says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, you asked me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Good question coming from the Lord in relationship to that. And remember, he's answering a question that Peter asked, how many times shall I forgive? 7 times? He's answering the question, and he's using this story, this parable, to answer the question. So forgiveness is preceded by repentance. Forgiveness is preceded by repentance. You'll notice both of these men admitted their debt, and they asked for grace, and they asked for mercy and sought forgiveness. And repentance, when somebody repents, that is something that really requires forgiveness. If they repent, then we should be willing to forgive. If we repent, God forgives us, we're saved. If we repent, even as his children, of our sin, he forgives us and restores fellowship. Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he repent, forgive him. Forgiveness is preceded by repentance. And then forgiveness sometimes requires repeating. Forgiveness sometimes requires repeating. Luke 17:4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. If they are willing to have a repentant attitude, then we should be willing to forgive them. Now, the problem with that is it sort of goes against the old nature. It goes against the grain, we would say, as far as repenting. And we are taught by Christ, I think, also, not only to forgive others, but forgive ourselves. You know, some Christians won't forgive themselves. They sin, they mess up or something, and they just always let the devil have a ball and chain around their ankle the rest of their lives because they failed somewhere. Listen, when you repent and turn it over to God and God forgives you, move on. Don't hang on to that. And don't drag that ball and chain around with you the rest of your Christian life. If you mean it and you forgive it and you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you. There may be some social things that come out of that, like David and all, but God forgives. Go on, and God wants to still use you in his work. And then forgiveness is permanent. Forgiveness is permanent. Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I will remember them no more. Sometimes, and this is real important to understand right here, sometimes we may not mentally be able to forget what happened. You know, if it's there, it's there. It got there, it got put there, and we don't have a delete button on our brains like we do on our computers, I guess. Although a lot of mine's just automatically deleting here lately, but at any rate, we may not be able mentally to forget somebody's sin against us, but we can behave as if we have forgotten. We can behave as if we have forgotten. We may not have forgotten it, but we can behave as if we have forgotten it. And that's when we have forgiveness. And then forgiveness is unmerited. It's unmerited. We did not earn our forgiveness, and those that we forgive should not have to earn it. We're called on to forgive, the Bible says, as Christ forgave us. Did you earn your forgiveness? I didn't. Nobody does. And the Bible says in Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. We have received forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Not so also do them, but so also do ye, do me. That's something we've got to take to heart. And then forgiveness prohibits vengeance. It prohibits vengeance. The greatest example we have of that, of course, is Jesus. He's our ultimate example. And he did not seek vengeance, but he sought our hearts and our forgiveness to forgive us. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, Jesus, our blessed, precious Savior, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He just said, we'd put it this way, God will handle it. The Father will handle it. It's not right, but that's all right. I'm not going to get into, you know, Dr. Lakin used to say, don't get in a fight with a skunk because you both come out smelling bad, you know. And we don't need to do that. We need to do what the Bible says. I read about a little boy that was sitting in a city park, and he was crying. He was in pain. And the man came by and asked the little boy, Sonny boy, what's wrong? He said, you're in pain. He said, I know. I said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee, or a bee, rather. And he said, it stung me, and it hurts. And he said, well, why don't you get up? Why don't you just get up? And his answer was this, because I figure I'm hurting him more than I'm hurting me. Well, we laugh at that, and that's funny, isn't it? But that's what we do. Sometimes we just sit on the bee, and the bee is still stinging us, and we're hurting the bee. It's sort of like two Christians, two Baptists fighting each other. We're sort of like that. We're hurting. We think we're hurting the offender, but we're hurting ourselves. And what we need to do is get off the bee, going about our business. Both are relieved, and we can go on as Christians and serve the Lord. And then forgiveness prevents bitterness. Forgiveness prevents bitterness. Somebody said this, you've heard this quote no doubt, bitterness destroys the container that holds it. You know, if you have acid, there are certain containers you can't put it in. It'll eat it up and ruin it. And you have to be careful with that. So bitterness destroys the container that holds it. And most of us know somebody like that, don't we? Probably. Say, oh, I know so-and-so. He is so bitter. And she is so bitter. And it's just destroyed them. Sometimes they get bitter at God. I've known people get angry at God, and the bitterness has just destroyed them. They quit church. They lost their family. They lost their jobs and everything because they got bitter about something, got angry with God. Bitterness is an acid that destroys the container that holds it. It destroys the container, and you just can't do it. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any, listen to this, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and here's the problem, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness doesn't just hurt the person who is bitter. It hurts the people around them. It hurts them. I've seen it hurt families. I've seen it hurt organizations. I've seen it hurt churches, and you have too. Someone said this, another quote, bitterness is the poison we swallow in our effort to harm the one who wronged us. Bitterness is the poison we swallow in our effort to harm the one who wronged us. And that just is not the will of God. Thirdly, the priority of forgiveness. The priority of forgiveness. Verses 33 through 35. How serious does God take this? Well, I think he takes it very seriously. You as an independent Baptist or saved Christian may not take it seriously, but I want to tell you, God does. God takes bitterness and anger seriously. And I think he gives us two priorities. And the first one is compassion is a priority. Compassion is a priority. Look at verse 33. Verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Compassion is a priority. That is a characteristic of God. And we probably are most like him when we are that way. Listen to the scripture, Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. How many of you are glad that's true? Say amen. Well, I'm glad that's true. Psalm 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I'm glad he is. That's the nature of God. Doesn't mean he's a weakling or that he overlooks sin, but he is ready to forgive. And so that's God's default position. He's ready to forgive, and he is plenteous in mercy. And we can see that in the life of Christ. Jesus went to tax collectors. Jesus ministered to prostitutes. The Lord Jesus Christ ministered to those who were caught in sin, to the diseased. He ministered to the hopeless. He ministered to the hurting and all kinds of people. That was the life of Jesus Christ. And that shows us the position of God the Father. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was a compassionate person. And he was reflecting the Father. He was equal to the Father, but in his human body, his humanity, he was reflecting the Father. And so Jesus asked that question, if we won't forgive, it's a sad thing. Shouldst not thou also have compassion? There's his question. Shouldn't you have compassion? I've been compassionate to you. Shouldn't you have compassion? And he's showing us, and this is a fellow servant. And then obedience is a priority. Compassion a priority and obedience a priority. Verses 34 and 35. There's a command and a choice involved in all this. And the Lord was wroth, he was angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother, their trespasses. That is strong. That's powerful. God takes it seriously in this matter of forgiveness. He really does. And whenever we are given that, we have a choice and a command. And God allows us to make the choice, as he did this. By the way, whatever God tells us to do, think about this now. Whatever he tells you to do, he will enable you to do. He's not going to tell you something to do that he will not give you the ability to do through the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I just can't do that. I just cannot forgive him. Well, you're calling God a liar. If you say, I cannot forgive her, I cannot forgive him, you're calling God a liar. God wouldn't ask you to do something that he wouldn't give you the grace and the ability and the enablement to do. He never does that. So he enables us to do that. Then if we fail to forgive, what happens? Well, like these verses. He said, I'm going to deliver you to the tormentors till he pays all that was due unto him. And he says, my heavenly Father is going to deal with you as a believer or as a fellow servant. How does God do that? We don't lose our salvation. But to those of us who are saved, and then we're not willing to forgive others, then God will chasten us. He will spank us. And God has his ways of doing that. Matthew 6:14-15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I believe that applies to the believer too. Not losing his salvation, but the joy of it and the fellowship, and God will chasten us. So here, let's take a quick inventory. We'll be through in the next 3 minutes. And you just answer these questions honestly between you and God. Is there someone that you have wronged from whom you should be seeking forgiveness? Is there somebody that the Spirit of God has brought to your mind or situation, someone you have wronged from whom you should seek forgiveness? Secondly, inventory. Is there someone who has wronged you that you need to go to? Is there somebody who's wronged you that you need to go to? It's hard to have any restoration until you take the first step, which is biblical, by talking to them, speaking to them lovingly, honestly, and graciously. Not in anger, but in love, honest, in honesty, and gracious about their offense. And then a third inventory, is there someone who has wronged you, but then they truly repented and asked your forgiveness, and you have not been willing to forgive them? You have withheld that forgiveness. You should give it today. If they've asked you to and you haven't, then if you want to be right with God, you should, before the sun goes down tonight, ask them for forgiveness. And, I mean, give them forgiveness as they've asked for forgiveness. So don't swallow the poison of bitterness. It's better to give forgiveness. And that's just as biblical as thou shalt not commit adultery. Father, thank you for your precious word, how powerful it is. What a challenge it is to live up to it, but we know we can, or you wouldn't have told us to. Thank you for the enablement of the Holy Spirit that gives us that ability to do that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith. Lord, help us to be filled with, controlled not by the old man, the old nature, but the Spirit of God. Now bless us as we go into the service, the morning service. Be with Brother Tim Lee as he comes to preach for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.